Would you like to break the chains of guilt and shame in your life? Well, you picked a great day to listen to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
What do you do if you have done something that violated your moral conscience to such an extent that you wonder, can I go on? The poster child for that is Judas Iscariot, who was so engulfed in remorse and he went out and hanged himself. Some people respond to guilt and shame that way. I'm gonna just kill myself. Other people, they turn to alcohol and drugs. I'm gonna try and deaden this pain of this accuser inside my breast. But that guilty conscience comes with them no matter where they go. Hey, what are we to do when we fall into guilt and shame? How can we get past our past?
He can heal every scar.
So many people are held up in bondage over their guilt and shame, and they simply can't seem to break free. They think freedom is impossible. Well, is it? We'll discover the answer today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. You're going to be encouraged with this lesson about how to break free from guilt and shame and learn to experience God's restoration, His love, and His forgiveness. One resource that can help you do that is Pastor Jeff Shreve's booklet, Not Guilty. The booklet and the series that we're in right now called Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith, are our gifts to you this month for your support of any amount. Just go to fromhisheart.org for details, or I'll tell you more later. But if you can, open your Bible to the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin revealing exactly how to break the chains of guilt and shame.
What do you do if you have done something that violated your moral conscience, that caused you to feel such tremendous remorse, such guilt, such shame over what you've done, some kind of sexual sin, some kind of a lie that really hurt a lot of people? Maybe it's an abortion for you. It's something that has violated your standards to such an extent that you wonder, can I go on? They just can't take it anymore. The poster child for that is Judas Iscariot, who was so engulfed in remorse that he took the 30 pieces of silver, brought it back to the chief priest and said, I have sinned against innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See to that yourself. And he went out and hanged himself. Trying to escape the hell within him, he stepped into the hell before him. Some people respond to guilt and shame that way. I'm gonna just kill myself. Other people, they turn to alcohol and drugs. I'm gonna try and deaden this pain of this accuser inside my breast. Other people say, well, I'm just gonna bury myself in my work and maybe I can overcome with some success at work. Other people try and escape, try and move away. But that guilty conscience comes with them no matter where they go. Hey, what are we to do when we fall into guilt and shame? How can we get past our past? Listen, I have good news today from the Word of God that no matter what you've done, no matter what is in your past, no matter how badly you might be stuck today in guilt and shame, the Lord is the chain breaker. He is the God who wants to set us free. Jesus came to set the captives free. And he has the prescription for our pain to set us free from the chains of guilt and shame. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus told that familiar story, the parable of the prodigal son. It's probably the most familiar parable that he ever told. Charles Dickens called it the greatest short story ever written. It's not a long story, but it's a powerful story. And in that story, we see how do we get out of guilt and shame. Luke chapter 15, I'll begin reading in verse 11. The scripture says, and he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. Such a vivid story, such a powerful story. Now, I want you to see from this story how you can break free from guilt and shame. But there are three requirements in order to break free, so that you don't have to live under constant condemnation from your past. Requirement number one, you take an honest look at your life. You look soberly in the mirror. You quit blaming your mother, your father, your friends, your brother, whoever it might be. You quit blaming them. You look soberly at yourself in the mirror. We don't like to do that. And the newer generation really doesn't like to do that, to look at themselves. Hey, you're responsible for you. I'm responsible for me. We're going to have to give an account one day to God. And so if you want to break free, you have to honestly look at your life. And there are three questions that are critical. Question number one, what have you done? What have you done? Look honestly at what you've done. Don't try and put lipstick on a pig. Don't try and dress it up. Look honestly at what you've done. What did the prodigal do? See, to understand this story, you have to understand that in the mindset of the Jews, in the mindset of the first century Middle East society, it was shame, honor. Or honor, shame, rather, is a better way to look at it. Honor, shame. And so you did everything for honor. You tried to avoid shame at all costs. Well, in hearing this story, if you are conditioned to honor and shame, honor is good. That's what we're shooting for. Shame is to be shunned at all costs. We don't do anything to produce shame. This story is overflowing with shame. It's just it's a shame smorgasbord. So the younger son, the father has two sons, the younger son says to his father, I can't just sit around and waste my life waiting for you to die. So give me the share of the inheritance that belongs to me. The older would get 2/3, the younger would get 1/3. I want to get 1/3 of my inheritance now, Dad, because I'm just tired of waiting on you to die. Can you imagine saying that even today to your father? I just wish you were dead so I could get what you have. Now, it's bad enough today. If you lived in that time period where it was very honor, shame associated, people would hear that and they'd be like, nobody would ever do that. That would be so far out of bounds. But that's what this boy did. And so he gets his father. His father responds to it. Now, the father, in the minds of the people hearing it, would have been like, hey, he should have kicked him out of the family. Just that one request. He should have slapped him across the face. But the father acquiesces to the younger son's request and says, okay. And so the father's a landholder. He has a lot of wealth, obviously. And so he cashes out or does whatever he does, gives the son 1/3 of his estate. And so the son takes the 1/3 estate, and then he turns it to cash. He has to sell it. So if your father gave you 1/3 of his land, well, what would you do? I mean, what can I do with 1/3 of the land? Dad's still alive, so I have to sell it. Who's going to buy it? Because they can't get it yet until my father dies. So I have to sell it to somebody who's willing to wait on it. And somebody who's willing to wait on it is going to buy it on the cheap. And so he takes 1/3 of what his father gives him, and he sells it on the cheap, and he gets the cash, and he gets out of town. He goes to find his fun. And he starts to waste his wealth with riotous living, with loose living. The brother, the elder brother, is going to say, hey, this son of yours wasted his wealth with harlots. And so that's what he's doing with the money. He's spending it on wine, women, and song. He's getting drunk. He's going to parties. He's paying women to have relations with him. And he's just having a big time. But then the money runs out. And then when the money runs out, the friends run out because they're not true friends. And then a famine hits. And then he starts to starve to death and nobody's giving anything to him. And so he attaches himself to somebody that had wealth, some citizen, attaches himself. It's like a beggar that just won't let you go. He's just like holding on to your pant, like, please help me, help me, help me. Give me a job, give me a job. And the guy's finally just like, here, you go to the pigs. I have some hogs. You go there and you feed them. Didn't really have a job. That guy just kind of got rid of him. And so he went there and he is feeding pigs. He's a Jew feeding pigs. And if that's not bad enough, he's longing to eat the pig slop, the pods that the hogs were eating. His life was filled with guilt, was filled with shame. But you know, if you're stuck in guilt and shame, you have to deal with things. You have to look soberly in the mirror. What have you done? Has it been an abortion? What have you done? Is it sexual immorality? Has there been some homosexuality? Sex before your marriage, sex inside of your marriage with somebody else? That's called adultery. Have you lied? Have you cheated? Have you stolen? What is it that you have done? You have to look soberly at yourself. Second question, what has been done to you? Did you know that there are a lot of people who are living in guilt and shame, and it's not so much what they've done, it's what's been done to them. Many people have been sexually abused. The statistics just keep getting higher with people experiencing sexual abuse when they were children. And the people, the adults who should have been protecting them ended up abusing them. And we tell people at Family Life, listen, what happened to you is not your fault, but it is your problem because it happened to you. And you have to learn to process this correctly. Otherwise, you will live a shame-filled life. Why did this happen to me? It must have happened to me because there's something bad about me. What have you done? What has been done to you? And thirdly, what has become your identity? You know, guilt and shame are very closely related, but when you get more specific, they're different. Guilt has to do with something wrong that I have done. I did something that was wrong and I feel guilty about it. It has to do with the action. Shame is more internalized guilt. Shame said it's not what I've done, but it's who I am. It's not that I have done wrong, it's that I am wrong. See, guilt deals with the do, shame deals with the who. And those things go together because the more guilty you are, the more you've done wrong, the more you feel badly about yourself, and the more you feel like there's something wrong with me. And I am the problem. It's not just I've done wrong, but I am wrong. I am bad. The prodigal definitely felt guilt and he felt shame. And he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called my father's son. I just need to be like a hired hand, like a day laborer. That's all I'm, if I come back to my father, that's the best I could hope for is he would make me a third class citizen on the farm because my identity has been trashed. I can't be called a son anymore. That's what was going through his head. His guilt had turned into shame and it was deep in his heart. This is who I am. You know, when you do wrong things that you know are wrong, you willfully do wrong things. You know, Jesus tells three stories in Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And the lost sheep is foolishly lost. The lost coin is haphazardly lost. The lost son is willfully lost. He chose to leave home. He chose to diss his father and to leave home. And he did some terrible things. When you do terrible things and trashy things, it makes you feel trashy. And when you feel trashy, you're inclined to do trashy things. And when you do trashy things, you feel more trashy. And as you feel more trashy, you do more trashy things. It's a vicious cycle that you get into and you can't seem to get out. When you're filled with shame, you just feel like a loser. You feel second class, third class, fourth class. No wonder people treat me as poorly as they do. I would treat me poorly too because I hate myself. Little poem I like that says this, I have to live with myself and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able as the days go by to look myself straight in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun and hate myself for the things I've done. How do you break free? Step number one, the first requirement, you take an honest look at your life. Requirement number two, you take a necessary departure from your pigsty. You leave the pigsty. That's necessary. Now, here's the prodigal. He disses his father in such an outlandish way. He takes what his father had earned and built. He takes it and he sells it for cheap. He takes the money and he spends the father's money on sin, on prostitutes, on alcohol and drugs and whatever else. He's just having a big time. And you know, sin is pleasurable. If anybody tells you sin is not pleasurable, they're not being honest with you. Because the devil's too smart to go fishing without any bait on his hook. Sin is pleasurable. The Bible talks about the passing pleasures of sin. It's pleasurable, but it's only pleasurable for a season. All the pleasure is on the front end, and then on the back end, there is misery. Temporary pleasure that leads to lasting pain and misery. And so this prodigal, he had a big time for a while until the money ran out. And when the money ran out, the friends ran out. And so from there, he had nothing. And no one was giving anything to him. And he ends up at the pigsty. You know, we don't see when we're tempted to sin, when we're tempted to experience sexual sin. And I think there's something about sexual sin that brings the guilt and shame more than almost any other sin. And there's a sin that when you sin with your body, against your own body and in sexual immorality, there's just something about it that makes you feel so guilty and so ashamed. And that's how he felt. And he's there at the pigsty. And the scripture says, at the pigsty, he comes to his senses. He says, wait a minute. I mean, he's just longing to dip his hand in the pig slop and to grab a bite. He says, wait a minute. Do not my father's hired men, the day laborers that work for my dad, do not they have enough to eat, more than enough to eat, because my dad is generous and good. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up. And I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and left. He is a picture of repentance. Listen, if you're going to get right with God, if you're going to break the chains of sin and shame and guilt, you have to repent. No one can get right with God without repentance. Repentance, metanoia, means to change your mind, and it also means to change your direction. You're going the wrong way. You have to turn around. You change your mind, what you think about sin, what you think about self, what you think about the Savior, and you say, I'm going the wrong direction. I need to leave this pigsty, and I need to go back and get myself right with God. I can't get right with God at the pigsty. You know why I get on a soapbox as it relates to the sexual revolution, as it relates to homosexuality being accepted in so many churches today? Here's why I get upset about that. It's because that is cutting the potential lifeline off from people who are trapped in that sin. Why? Because they have left the Father. They have gone after their own sin. They followed the lusts of their heart. This is what I want to do. And they find themselves at the pigsty, and they want to feel good at the pigsty because their conscience is killing them. And so they need people to tell them, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay. And those who tell them, you're okay at the pigsty, God loves you at the pigsty, he's not upset with you at the pigsty, you can just serve God at the pigsty. You can't. That's a lie. I don't care what your sin is. If you say, well, I'm just going to embrace this sin and I'm going to stay at the pigsty, you'll never, ever, ever get right with God. Because Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You have to repent. You have to leave that behind, and you have to get yourself away from the sin, away from the pigsty, and get yourself right with God. Hey, if you're living with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and you're not married, and you say, well, I really want to serve God. The way you serve God, the way you get right with God, is you leave that immoral situation. You can't do that. You can't stay in that. Somebody says, well, I'm an exotic dancer, and that's how I make my living. Well, you got to leave that because you can't honor God with that. That's dishonorable to God. That's a sin before God, and so that's a pigsty, and you got to leave the pigsty. If you're going to get right with God, you have to repent. And the prodigal said, I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And then it says, and he got up and went to his father. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. No one can get right with God without repentance, and no one can get right with God without action. It's easy to say you're going to do this. It's totally different to say, and I'm doing it.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and the message today, Breaking the Chains of Guilt and Shame. It's from the series, Sticking Points. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this, There is therefore now no condemnation, meaning blame, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Listen, as a Christian, do you really believe that verse? Are you living as though you really believe it? Are you free from the guilt of sin? For many, guilt and shame are serious obstacles to walking confidently with God. They simply can't believe that God would ever truly love them because of what they and God know about their sin and weaknesses. Well, Pastor Jeff Shreve has a booklet that will help you deal with that guilt and put it into proper perspective as it relates to your relationship with God. The booklet is called Not Guilty, and it's our gift to you this month to say thanks for your support of any amount to From His Heart. And with that booklet, we'll also send you Pastor Jeff's 4-message series, Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith. And that includes the message you're hearing today called Breaking the Chains of Guilt and Shame. We'll have part 2 of this tomorrow. The series is available on USB flash drive, MP3 download, CDs, or DVDs, your choice, along with the booklet. To get yours, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. We pray that God will help you overcome your sticking points to a wonderful life with Christ at the center of it. Hey, a quick reminder, when you do go online, we hope you'll sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly Real Hope email encouragement letter. You'll get it in your inbox every Friday morning. It's easy to do right there on the homepage. You can also connect with us on the social media channels Pastor Jeff is on, and you can do that right online there too. Plus, you can download a free MP3 of any broadcast that you have heard. Again, go to fromhisheart.org, click the listen link. Well, thank you for being here. I'm Larry Nobles, and Thursday is done for us here, but we hope that you'll have an opportunity to be with us tomorrow for part 2 of the lesson entitled, Breaking the Chains of Guilt and Shame. That's Friday, when we'll open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.